say they could tell nice about a fellow. I'm sorry, this is, there's a fellow who every Erev Tishah, he would go to a swarm store and buy a kinos. So the Mocha Swarm said to him, I'm happy to sell you a new book every year, but I know you bought it last year. So he said, after Tisha B'Av, I put my kinos in Seamus because I know I'm not going to need it next year. Chas Shalom, Erev Tisha B'Av, it's coming close, so I got to prepare for the worst. So I buy a new one, but I certainly don't plan on using it. Mirtz Hashem, people tell me they liked my kinos here yesterday, but it should be the last one. Okay.
Is it a shita to not buy a kinos to to not buy it? Because because Rabbi Yehuda, I didn't get a kinos.
No, these are inyanim that have to come from your own emuna, meaning if you really, 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 really believe, so memela you're not going to buy.
Also, what about the sudam of sekes?
What about?
Person shouldn't have a sudam of sekes.
Well, okay, Chazal or Kaver, the halacha, I mean, listen, you have to.
Also, for to stop learning certain things by midday, the day of the Tisha B'Av, also, people should do that.
I hear. I mean, well, the Pashas, when this man comes, in other words, like this, just like you're not going to say, I'm not going to fast on Tisha B'Av, because once it's Tisha B'Av, you got to fast. So, Chazal or Kaver, so once it's Erev Tisha B'Av, you got to do this, 9 days. What are you going to say? You can show with everything. Why do I have to start? A new hecker to take a shower. I thought that was an interesting hecker. I take a shower because I'm Batuach Mashiach is going before Tishra.
Isn't there a halacha in the Gemara that says that this chazaka that Mashiach didn't come, so we have to assume that he's not going to come? Meaning, even though we expect him to come every day, the chazaka says that we assume he's not going to do it. And you would base your halacha on that?
You know, I honestly don't remember that Gemara. I'd be interested in seeing it. That would be a very, very interesting Gemara that we go Basra Chazaka on that. Because that's why I said that's a shtickle stira to the notion of a chakaloi b'chalya and b'chalya b'shiyabai.
I think despite
that,
I hear. Wait, but doesn't mean that you assume he's coming today? Means you.
No, so there's a machlokas. No, there's actually a machlokas how to translate the line. A chakaloi b'chalyom shiyabai. So there are two translations. Just translate that sentence in English. Every day, I wait for him to come. That doesn't mean I wait for him to come every day. That doesn't mean I believe he can come every day. Every day, I am yearning for Mashiach, but not that I'm mechuyev to believe he'll come today. So, pashtus, you could say, that I have to yearn for Mashiach every day, but I don't have to believe he could come today. That is pashtus. The Brisker Rav said, not the way, the Brisker Rav said, you are mechuyev to believe that Mashiach can come every day. And somebody asked him, what do you mean every day? The Gemara itself says Mashiach will not come on Shabbos, of course, and Mashiach will not even come on Erev Shabbos, not to distract us from our hachanos. So the Brisker Rav said, Eliyahu Navi will have to answer the stira. It's a contradiction, but the Amuna is he can come. But geez, Brisker Rav holds, even on Shabbos, you have to believe Mashiach will come. I, Chazal, said not. He says, that's a kasha. He says, that's a kasha. But in other words, you have a stira. Okay, I'm not sure how he knows why one thing overrides the other thing. But he says, the ikar is the emunah. That's what he says. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, what I wanted...
In the temple of Yom Lagon and Hofsheim, they also said that Mashiach was going to come any day?
Absolutely, absolutely. Chafetz Chaim had a special garment for Mashiach.
But if they said it, then Mashiach should have come in their lifetime, and it's been already 100 years. So it's like...
All he saw wasn't Zohar. I mean, listen, Mashiach could have come without, you know. Chazal say that the first 2,000 years were years of desolation before the Torah. The next 2,000 years were Torah, including Torah Shabbat Pet. So that takes you to the year 4,000. The year 4,000. We're now 5,774. The Gemara says from the year 4,000, for the next 2,000 years, Mashiach can come any point during that time. So for 2,000 years, there's a tekufa of Mashiach. So it could have happened 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. So the door has to be royal. Okay, anyway, what I wanted to look at, you know, Perek Aleph of Hilchas Trumas, actually the whole Perek, but we're not going to look at the whole Perek, is such a yesidistic a Perek that if you want to ever learn Zerayim, and you want to understand the foundations of Zerayim, where you would start is Perek Aleph of Hilchas Trumas. Extremely, extremely yesidistic. The Rambam addresses so many very, very important questions. Now the reason why I want to look at this is going to be a hakdama to a much larger discussion. And the larger discussion involves the Heter Mechira, the selling of land to Goyim for Shemitah. As you know, the Rabbanut, based on Rav Kook, allows the land to be sold to non-Jews. And by selling the land to non-Jews, two things happen. Two things are accomplished, according to the Rabbanut. Number one, that agricultural work, like planting and the like, is allowed to be done. And number two, which is actually more important from the consumer's perspective, is that because the holiness of Shemitah does not apply to that land, the peros, the fruits and the vegetables, do not have Kedusha Shvias, and there is no Isser of Sapichim on grains and the like. Sapichim is anything that, any grain or vegetable that grows during Shemitah cannot be eaten at all. But only if it has the holiness of Shemitah. And the Heter Mechira is presupposing that land owned by a non-Jew is equivalent to land that is owned in America or China, in which there's no law of Shemitah at all. The sale to the Goy takes away the holiness of the land of Israel. Now, in order to understand that, because that is our question, this is a huge detour. This is going to be a pretty long detour that will take more than one share. I'm not sure what we'll do, Ben Isman or not, we'll see, but whatever it is. But we have to take a very, very long detour away from Shemitah. So this is not about Shemitah. This is Hilchos Trumas. This is not about Shemitah. And understand generally what is the impact of a non-Jew owning land on mitzvahs tuluyos bi'aretz generally. Truma, Meiser, and the like. And that's a big sugya in HaShaleach. You may have learned, those of you who are learning Gitna, who's last man. Went through this in the fourth parak a little bit, but we'll see the Rambam Hilchos Psukos. So after we then get a sense of what is the impact of a non-Jewish ownership on the laws of Tluyos Bi'aretz generally, we can then go backwards and see how this impacts on Shemitah. Now the reason why you have to do it this way, the reason why you have to do it this way is that in Hilchai Shemitah, there is no direct discussion of this. The Gemara does not, the sugyas in the Gemara that discuss the impact of the kinyan of an Oved Kechavim, of a Goy, in Eretz Yisrael, are all about Truma and Meiser. If you apply those rules to Shemitah, it is only by analogy, and we will see that there's a big machlokas, can you make the analogy? Because the Mishnah actually holds you cannot make that analogy, okay? So this is what we're going to say. So this is a detour. So for a while we're not going to be thinking about Shemitah. We're going to be thinking about Trumos and Maestras. Now this is pretty nogeila Maestra because even today you could. I remember when the first time I visited Israel, it was in 1979. And in those days, obviously Israel always had wars with nations, but in those days with the relations with the local Arab population was fairly friendly. Oh, we used to take Arab buses to the bus station in Shar Shechem, which I don't think any sane person would attempt today. I remember the Arab buses had chickens on them and goats. I think now they're more streamlined, but then they were more ramshackle buses. And people would go to Arab Shuk and we'd buy different stuff, right? So the Mishael of Trumas and Maestras and everything else. So let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam here starts. Again, the Yishai was kind enough to reproduce it. Perek Aleph Halacha Yud. And it starts off the following. Goy, by the way, Goy, it's important that the Rambam uses Goy. The Gemara's lashon is Ovei Kochavim. Now, it's important to know that sometimes when it says Ovei Kochavim, there's a certain connotation of idolater, pagan, one who worships idols. And then you get into a whole shaila, what is the status of Muslims? And the Rambam says Muslims are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they believe in one God. Christians, is a machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishayim, the Rambam says Christianity is idolatry. The because they believe in a duality or a trinity of Yashka and God, and also God as a human form. Rabbeinu Tam, who lived in France, took the position that Christianity, which meant for him Catholicism, that's the only Christianity that existed in France, was not idolatry for Bnei Noach. It was sinful for a Jew to be a Christian, but a Christian is allowed to be a Christian, because Rabbeinu Tam says, although it's a mistaken belief, obviously, if it's not true for us, it's not true for them. In other words, it's a mistake, but it's not Avodah Zarah per se, because they believe in the ultimate superiority of God the Father, even though they're Meshatef, Shem Shemayim, with something else. But all of that is an issue you have to face when your operative term is Oved Kaychavim. But when it's, then we could debate, but when it says Goy, right, Goy is anyone that's not a Jew. Okay, anyone that's not a Jew. Right, so that's an important word. So, a Goy shekana karka b'Eretz Yisrael. If a Goy buys land in Eretz Yisrael. Now, keep in mind, the Rambam here is not discussing, am I allowed to sell a Goy land in Eretz Yisrael. In point of fact, it is generally usher to sell land to a Goy in Eretz Yisrael. And that is based on a lav in Parshas Yeschanan called Lo Sechanem, which has a number of interpretations, but one of the interpretations of Lo Sechanem is don't give them chaniya, do not give them, i.e. Goyim, encampments in Eretz Yisrael, and it's usher to sell land. We'll talk about that. That obviously is going to be a huge issue in the Heter Mechira, but that's not Nogaya here. Here the Rambam is not telling me, am I allowed to sell land to a Goy? The Rambam is telling me if a Goy buys the land. So what's the status? So the rule is, lo hivkia min hamitznos. It does not exempt or remove the land from the commandments. Hare hi bikdushasa. The land remains in its holiness. Lafikach, therefore, what is the consequence of the land remaining in its holiness? Im chazar Yisrael v'lokcha mimenu, if a Yisrael purchases the land from the Goy, eina kikibush yachid, ela mafresh trumos umaisres umevi bikurim, v'hakol min atayra ki'ilu loy nimkura l'goy me'olim. So we have a machlekes in the Gemara. Yesh kinyan li'ovei kochavim lahavkiyah, or ein kinyan li'ovei kochavim lahavkiyah. The Rambam paskins ein kinyan li'ovei kochavim lahavkiyah. Now there are terms that have to be defined. What is kibush yochid? That itself is a machlekes. Kibush yochid literally means private conquest, individual conquest. The Gemara applies the term Kibush Yochid, and the Rambam will apply it as well, to the land that is known as Soria. Soria corresponds to parts of Syria, and we are told that in the time of Malchus of David HaMelech, he waged war beyond the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael and was able to conquer parts of Syria. The question is, are parts of Syria chayav in Trumos and Masros? Now, let's ask a simple question. Why would parts of Syria be chayiv in Trumas and Masros? They're not Eretz Yisrael. The answer is, and this is fascinating, that technically, to be chayiv in Trumas and Masros, you don't have to be Eretz Yisrael. It says in Yoshua, Hashem told Yoshua, Kol mokayim asher tidroch kaf ragleichan bo lachem nesatif. Any place where your foot treads, any place that you conquer, I give to you. There is a concept when Am Yisrael conquers territory on behalf of the Jewish nation, that territory acquires the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, and it is Chayev and Trumas and Maisras. That the kibush of Chutz La'aretz that is done on behalf of Am Yisrael, now, that's tricky. It may not apply to modern conquest, like parts of the Sinai, and they only apply when there's a melech, Urim v'Tumim. The process of how you sanctify Chutz La'aretz is not so budget. But there is a general rule that certainly, if David HaMelech, where there was a Sanhedrin and the like, conquered beyond the Shtachim of Eretz Yisrael, theoretically, that would have Kedushas La'aretz, except for the fact that Surya is a kibush yachid, meaning, had it been, again, I'll define the term in a moment, had it been a kibush rabim, it would have been nichlal in the promise, kol maka mishetidroch tafrag lechem bo lechem nesativ, but the avla is kibush yachid. What makes Surya a kibush yachid? Machlokas, Rashi, and Taisus in Gikl. Rashi says, it's a kibush yachid because David HaMelech did not conquer Surya to be part of the Jewish nation. David HaMelech conquered for his own personal needs. Now that sounds a little strange, actually. David HaMelech conquered. I mean, listen, David HaMelech gets Jewish people to fight. Jewish people may have died. I don't know if we have any numbers on it. Because he wanted to have a bigger estate. I mean, how does one understand a Melech Yisrael, who's a tzaddik, conquering land by military means? First of all, let me remind you that technically, if he's conquering land, that's not a Melchemes Mitzvah; it's a Melchemes Rishus, an optional war. A Melchemes Rishus needs the Haskama of the Sanhedrin, and it also needs the Urim V'Tumim. So Hashem himself authorized the conquest. So how is it Yitochen, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorizes the conquest and it's only for the Melech's personal tayelis? So you have to understand that obviously we don't mean, when Rashi says David conquered it for his own personal tayelis, we don't mean just to be rich or just to have more land. Whatever it is, David HaMelech maybe built a yeshiva, he built a base medrash, he gave Parnassah to Talmidei Chachamim. He could have done all sorts of good things, but it was not national conquest. It was a conquest for the king. Then he could have done Gevaldik things. He could have made a base medrash, whatever it would be. And obviously, if Al Pidin, the Urim V'Tumim had to be Maskin, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was a good thing. But Rashi says it is a kibush yachid. And Vibalt, it's a kibush yachin. It does not have the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so there's no chiyuv in trumais and maisros min atayra, although there is still a chiyuv drabana. This is if you hold kibush yachid lo shmei kibush. There's only a chiyuv drabana, and the Rambam paskins lo shmei kibush. Now, Taisvis has a different explanation of what makes Surya a kibush yachid. Right, everyone's mitre. Surya has a label, kibush yachid. But what makes it a kibush yachid? Rashi says, what makes it a kibush yachid is the motivation. David did it l'tzorcho, and not l'tzorech am Yisrael. The Rambam says, Taisus says, what makes Surya a kibush yachid is not the motivation. What makes it a kibush yachid is the sequencing. And that is the din, that if you conquer Chutz La'aretz, it has the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, is only if you conquered everything within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech had not yet conquered all of Yerushalayim when he conquered Surya. So since Surya was conquered before the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, it is called a kibush yachid, and therefore it is not chayev in trumas and maisers. Had David HaMelech waited and wouldn't have conquered Surya until he had conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, then ein hachinami, it would have been a kibush rabbin. So machlekes, Rashi and Taisus. Taisus has a very, very strong raya from the Sifri. The Sifri comments on Surya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David HaMelech, Samach lepalterin shala loy hayrashta, v'atah holech v'kovesh Surya. You have not yet conquered land next to your palace. Why are you going and conquering Syria? So it's quoted from the Sifri that the Sifri says that the Chisaron of Syria was that it was conquered before the boundaries of Eretz Israel. Be it as it may, Syria is called Kibush Yochid. And even though there's a machlekes, there is actually a mandiyamar, kibush yochid, shmei kibush, and in spite of this, you're chayav, but the Rambam paskins that kibush yochid, shmei kibush, and therefore the chiyav is only drabanan. So, what the Rambam says is the following. Let's apply this rule to selling land to a goy. And it's mashma from this that the Rambam is going with Rashi, actually. If I sell land to a goy, and the kinyan of the guy takes off the Kedushas Haaretz, then the Rambam envisions repurchasing land as if I'm making a new conquest. I'm conquering the land by purchase. But since I'm conquering the land by purchase, and I'm purchasing it for me, I'm not purchasing it to belong to Am Yisrael, so technically, it would be a kibush yochid. Why would it be a kibush yochid? Because when it's sold to the guy, it becomes like chutzlaretz. When I repurchase it, I'm reconquering it. But it's a kibush yochid. So Zakta Rambam, ain't okay. Why is it ain't okay? Because the land was already sanctified. And when it was sold to the guy, the guy's kinyan was not matkia of that kedusha. Therefore, when I buy it back, it is not a kibush yachid, which is why when I plant grain or whatever it is, I'm chayav. In other words, with the Rambam is mechadish, the Rambam is linking an interesting thing. The Rambam is saying that the machlokes yesh kinyan or ein kinyan, there's a guy's kinyan mafkia, is really totally, in a sense, on kibush yachid or not kibush yachid. Because if you hold kibush yachid is shmei kibush, it would really make no difference if the guy's kinyan is mafkia or not mafkia. Because even if the guy's kinyan is mafkia, when I buy it, it's a new kibush. But the problem is, we paskin kibush yachid lo shmei kibush. A bazai, if the guy is mafkia the kedusha, my repurchase would be a kibush yachid. So why would I be chayiv in trumas and maestros min haTorah? So the Rambam says, the reason why you are not confronted with the problem of kibush yachid is because when the land was sold to the guy in the first place, it didn't lose the kedusha that it got from the time of the kibush rabbi. And therefore, when you buy it back, it is not a new kibush that is sanctifying it. That new kibush wouldn't have been able to sanctify it. That new kibush would have been a kibush yachid. But since, right, see the connection, since ein kinyan liyakov, right, ein kinyan, the guy's kinyan, is not matkia kedusha, therefore it's not a kibush yachid. Now, there's a big problem here. There is a very big problem. Can you say again?
It is not here the chiyuv shumus and maestros.
No, that's what we say. The kinyan of a guy is not mafkia.
So what's the nafkamina of a kinyan?
Therefore, the Rambam says, when I buy it back, everything that I plant is going to be chayiv in shumus and maestros.
It always was.
Well, the guy himself is not mechayiv in mitzvahs, but the nafkamina is when I buy it back, it's not a kibush yochid. Now again, let me point out the following. You have to be very careful.
Well, why are you saying that Rambam is going to the Rashi?
The reason is because if the Rambam is suggesting that buying a field back from a goy is a maisa of kibush yachid, that really only works with Rashi's definition. Because Tyson's definition might work, but it would be much more problematic. Like Rashi's definition, buying a field back for me is a kibush yachid because I'm buying it with sarchai.
Why can't you do this as well? He's not buying it back. He's using it as a yachid because all of Israel is not conquered.
Well, who says it isn't? In other words, I mean, maybe today it isn't, but I mean, this halacha could it, in other words, this rule theoretically could be applied even if Oliver Eichstein was conquered. I mean, in other words, for the Rambam to make this statement that whenever I buy a field back, it might be a kibush yochid, to make it a categorical statement, it can only be true like Rashi. Whether it's true like Tysus would depend on another mitzvah, which the Rambam doesn't say. So it's mashma. On the other hand, does the Rambam define kibush? Okay. But I think you're right. I think that when the Rambam defines kibush yochid earlier in the Perek, I think he actually seems to say like Tysus. So, you know, right, okay. Now here is the thing. We have to be very careful to identify this. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam is not talking about buying grain from a guy. The Rambam is not talking about buying fruit from a guy. The Rambam is simply talking about buying land from a guy. In other words, the case in Halacha Yud is, I buy a field from a guy, and then I plant grain. So the din is, since the guy's ownership was not mafkia kedusha saaretz, it is not a kibush yachid, and since it's not a kibush yachid, so it has kedusha saaretz Yisrael. So when I plant on it, the fruits and the vegetables are chayav in trumas and mitzvos. Okay, be sure you understand this. Halacha Yud, the Rambam has a very exact sequence. In Halacha Yud Aleph Yud Beis Vayter, he will talk about buying the etzem peyos. But in Halacha Yud, he's talking about buying the etzem land. Now, the emes is, I guess, the emes is, you have to see, if you learn the sugya in Gittin, the machlekes of yesh kinyan or ein kinyan is only a machlekes on peyos. In other words, this din that the Rambam says, when I buy land from a goy, it's not mufka mikdusha, that actually is not totally on the machlekes. In other words, all Mandi Yomrim in the Gemara would agree with this. So it's interesting that people say from Halacha Yud, oh, we have a raya that the Rambam Paskins, like the Mandi Yomar, ain kinyan liyavid kechavim latkia. As a matter of fact, this is not the raya, because this din is not even telling in that machlekes. This din is muskim l'chulei alma, that the guy is not matkia the ground. The guy is not matkia the ground. The guy maybe is Makia the Paris. That's a special drusha we're going to have right here. Right now, we're simply talking about the ground. Now, let me ask you, there's a very, very strong kasha at the end of the Rambam. The Rambam says, there is a kinyan, in other words, in Surya, if a guy owns land in Surya, now Surya, because Surya is a kibush yachid, and kibush yachid is only midrabanan anyway, in other words, if I own land in Surya, I'm only chayav midrabanan, so where it's only a chayav midrabanan, the ownership of the guy will be mafkia. Now, let me ask you, obviously it makes sense, but from our superficial level, this is a statement that doesn't make sense. Because here's the thing. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, in Surya, a guy has a kinyan to be mafkia. But wait a second. The problem of a guy being mafkia just means, when I buy it back, it's a kibush yachid. But Surya is a kibush yachid to begin with, and the Rabbanan were still Mechayev Yumid Rabbanan. So why would buying back from a goy be any worse than my owning something in Surya to begin with? In other words, if I own the land in Surya from David HaMelech's time, am I Chayev in Trumas and Maestras? I mean, I tell you no, because it's a Kibush Yachid. Mid Rabbanan, yes. But the Rambam then says, oh, but since it's only drabanan, a goy that has a kinyan takes off that kedusha. So when you buy it back, you're not chayav. But wait a second. If the problem of buying it back is only that I've done a kibush yachid, then Surya is a kibush yachid that's chayav midrabanan. So the same way you were chayav drabanan before the goy owned it. In other words, the point I'm making is, if the Rambam learns that the yesod of a guy being mafkia kedusha is that your reacquisition or your acquisition is a kibush yachid, that's not a reason to pater Surya from midrabanan, because Surya is gufa a kibush yachid, that's chayav drabanan. So how can you say that since Surya is a kibush yachid, a guy is mafkia? No! You said a guy is mafkia because, in other words, when a guy is not mafkia, it's not a kibush yachid. If a guy is mafkia, the problem is it is a kibush yachid. Well, kibush yachid midrabanan is chayav. So one answer might be that there may be dargas in the rabbinic hischaivus of kibush yachid. There is a kibush yachid that was done by a melech, and then there's a kibush yachid that's done by literally a private guy. In both cases, min ha-Taira, there's no chiyuv. But it could be when the rabbanan were mechayev kibush yachid, they were only mechayev a kibush yachid that resembles a kibush rabbim, because it was fork done by a melech. Masha'en came the kibush yachid of I buy it from a guy myself, as a kibush yachid, Chazal weren't misakin at all. It could be. You have to see, because otherwise it's a non sequitur. Just to say that when I buy a field from a guy in Surya, the guy is mafkia kedusha. Okay. But the emphasis will be in other teretz as well, because it's really shver why the Rambam puts it here, because you're going to see that it really is taka shver, because if Halacha Yud is talking about buying land, the Emes says there is no nafkamina, the Halacha Din Surya and Eretz Yisrael. In both cases, when I buy the land, I'm chayav in Trumas and Maaser. The chiluk between Surya and Eretz Yisrael is not going to be in buying land from a guy. It's going to be in the peiros that grew in the Rishis of the guy. So the Emes says the Rambam's chiluk of Surya does not belong here, and that's why the Rambam says a guy has a kinyan in Surya to be mafkia min ha-maisris, kamo she yisboyer, as will be explained weiter. So it really is, I did not see a good explanation, it really is a tzorich iyun, why the Rambam brings Surya in here at all, because legabe this halacha, Surya and Eretz Yisrael are in fact shoving. The only nafkamina is going to be when you buy a land with grain and peiros of the guy, are you chayiv and trumas and maisers. Now, here, let me just point out a diak of the Kesev Mishnah. The Kesev Mishnah is medayik from the Rambam the following. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam says that when a guy buys land in Eretz Yisrael, his ownership is not mafkia it from mitzvos. The land is holy. Therefore, when the Yisrael buys the land from the guy, it is not called a kibush yachid because it has kedusha sa'oret. Zakta Kesev Mishnah, the Rambam seems to say that as long as the guy actually owns it, it is mufka from Kedusha. The Rambam just says, the guy is not mafkia so that when the Israel buys it, I don't look at it like a kibush yachid, it goes back to what it was. But kol zaman, it's by the guy, it's mufka. See, this is where the Heter Mechira comes in. It's based on the Kesev Mishnah's Diyuk. Because the Chayra, if I just read Halacha Yud, and Halacha Yud says, a guy that buys land in Eretz Yisrael is not mafkia min ha-mitzvos. Harayu v'kdushasa. So I would say right off the bat, so how can selling land to a guy, putting aside the Yisr, how could that be a heter to cultivate the land during Shemitah? It has Kedusha! I'll pee the so the Heter Mechira is gebait on the aside of the Kesev Mishnah. That when the Rambam says the land has Kedusha, he just means the land has Kedusha so that when the Israel is Chayzer v'Kaina, it'll be Chayav and Trumos and Masreis, because I don't look at it like a Kibush Yochid. But Kol Zaman, it's owned by the Goy, the Rambam would be Maida, it's Mufka Mikdusha. So you see how this is a basis for the Heter Mechira, putting aside the Yisr of selling it. Because Kol Zaman, it's by the Goy, Itaka is Mufka, it's only when it's Chazar Yisrael V'Lotzcha HaYimena, that it's Eino Kikiva Shefa, right? So this is a very important lesson here, because the Rambam's Lefikach is actually the site of the Kesev Mishnah that is the foundation of the Heter Mechira. Okay? Because Kol Zman, it's by the Goy, it's Mufka Mikdusha. Now, yes, but that's only after you buy it. Im Chazar Yisrael v'lokcha
v'menu.
So if
you ever buy it back from the Goy, then the fruits that came out of there,
yeah, that everybody ate, were going to be after digging. Well, we're going to see about you. That'll be the next halacha about the fruit that grew in the Goy's Rishus. I mean, the emphasis, I think the emphasis, there's going to be a tzorichi and gadol mi'ayit on the Kesef of Mishnah's Yisayit. Because according to the Kesef of Mishnah's Yisayit, let's look at the next halacha for a moment, because the next halacha, and then we'll stop. I just want to do the next halacha. Halacha Yud is talking about, I buy a field from a goy, and then I plant it and everything else, so I'm chayiv and trumas and maizrus. Okay. Halacha Yud Aleph is, I buy peiros. I don't even buy a field. The goy owns the field. Peiros ha-goy, she-gadlai b'karka she-kana b'yeret Yisrael. I buy fruit and vegetables and grain from a goy. I go to an Arab shuk. I buy fruit, vegetables, and grain that grew in a goy's property in Eretz Yisrael. Am I chayav in trumas and masras, or am I not? So here's the chiluk. In nigmara malachtam biyad hagoy umirchan hagoy piturim michlum. Shenamar degancha v'lo degan goy. V'imlokchan Yisrael achar shenitlash kaidem shetigmar malachta v'gomren Yisrael chayavan b'kol min atar. Let's just stop there. I mean, they're going to be pratim here. But the Rambam says the following. It depends at what stage you bought the peiros. Now, in Trumas and Maishas, there's actually a very important, complicated musaf called Gemar Malacha. Gemar Malacha is when produce has been processed to the degree that it's generally ready to be sold or eaten. So in the case of grain, this would mean, for example, that not only was it harvested, but it was threshed, it was winnowed, and technically it was already a pile of seeds. It didn't have to be ground into flour. But that's Gemar Malacha, and that's when it was sold in the shuk. Most of the time when you go to a shuk, virtually all fruits and vegetables already have Gemar Malacha. But let's say, for example, you would go to a market and you would get unthreshed grain. You get shibalim, you get stalks of grain. And then you did the threshing and you did the meruach, making it a pile. So technically, something is not chayiv in trumas and masros until Gemar Malacha. So the Rambam says, if I buy peiros from a guy before Gemar Malacha, right, I buy sheaves of grain, and I do the threshing, since at the time of Gemar Malacha it was mine, I am mechuyev in Trumas and Masras. But if the non-Jew did Gemar Malacha, so at the time of Gemar Malacha it still belonged to the non-Jew, it is not chayev in Trumas and Masras. Now, what that means practically is, since 9 out of 10 times when you buy fruits and vegetables, 10 out of 10 times, there's already a Gemar Malacha, because they don't sell it until there's Gemar Malacha. And what Gemar Malacha is different for every fruit and vegetable, but basically, by the time fruit is ready to be sold, that's called Gemar Malacha. So what is the bottom line with Halacha? You buy produce that was grown on Arab land, you're not chayiv in trumas and masros since you're buying it after Gemar Malacha. But lu yitzur, you buy it before Gemar Malacha, you are chayiv because you did Gemar Malacha. Now, here is the question. L'chaira, like the Kesef Mishnah's explanation of Halacha Yud, the din of Halacha Yud Aleph is very shrewd. Because what is the Kesef Mishnah's Hanacha? The Kesef Mishnah's Hanacha is, call Zaman, the guy owns the land. It is Mufka from Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So let's say fruits and vegetables and grain grow on a goy's land. I then buy it. But l'chaira, I'm buying grain that grew on non-sanctified land. See, bishlama, when I buy the field, so once I buy it back, the land has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So what I plant and what I grow grew from Eretz Yisrael. It's chayav and trumas and nasras. But when I buy the payras, and I don't buy the land, and if you're telling me, kol zaman, the land is in the hand of the guy, it's mufkim and amitzvahs, why would I be chayav in trumas and nasras, even if I did gemar malacha? I mean, let's take this analogy. I buy fruit, not fruit, let's say I buy sheaves of grain from America. The customs won't let you through, but I bring the sheaves of grain back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm gomer molacha in Eretz Yisrael. Am I mechuyev in trumas and masras? The pashtus not. So according to the Kesef Mishnah, buying payros from a guy who owned land in Eretz Yisrael is like buying payros in New York, where you did Gemar Malach in Eretz Yisrael. See, without the Kesef Mishnah, we wouldn't have this problem. Without the Kesef Mishnah, I would take the Rambam at his word that when a guy owns land, it's not Mufka from Kedushas Haaretz. So if it's not Mufka, there's a special Gezeiros HaKasev. If the guy did Gemar Malacha, there's a Petur. That's a separate question. But if I did Gemar Malacha, it grew in Eretz Yisrael Dika land. So without the Kesef Mishnah, the din makes perfect sense. But here's the Tzorachian, according to the Kesef Mishnah, why would I be chayav if I'm gomer malacha when I buy the payers from the guy? The chayra, the guy's land was mufka, close him on, it belonged to the guy. Now, the emphasis is, what taka is the din? Just look at this last din. What is the din if I buy sheaves of grain in New York and I bring them to Eretz Yisrael? So the look at... There actually is a halacha in Perek Aleph. Look at halacha chaf beis. Peres chutzul aretz shenichnasu liaretz chayavim b'chala. I'm sorry. Perek Aleph halacha chaf beis, the middle, after the two dots, in the middle of chaf beis. Yeah, just Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Beis, after the two dots. Peiros Chutzal La'aretz, Shenichnasu La'aretz, Chayavim B'chala, that's fine. But what about V'yem Nikfu L'maiser V'yad Yisrael Acha Shenichnasu La'aretz, Chayavim B'maisers M'divrayim. M'divrayim. So, the Rambam Taka does say, Peiros Chutzal La'aretz, Shenichnesu liyaretz, if it's gomar malach then biyaretz, archayev drabanan. So, the problem is, I therefore have to say that when the Rambam says when the Israel buys the payrus and does gomar malacha, that's in Eretz Yisrael proper, it would be a drabanan, like the Kesef Mishnah, but that's very sure because the Rambam is medayik throughout the perek. The Rambam, when it's Drabbanan, he uses Drabbanan. If he doesn't use Drabbanan, it's there. The problem basically is, like the Kesef Mishnah, you're going to have to read back the Drabbanan in Halacha Yud Aleph, which the Rambam does not say Drabbanan on that. Without the Kesef Mishnah, it would be a Dabbanan. Okay, so this is a concept of the Kesef Mishnah, because the Rambam paskins that Nigmar Malachta and Biyad Yisrael, there is a Chiyuv of Trumas and Maitres, although the land was never purchased back from the guy. The guy kept the land. That's something to think about. Okay? Well, I'll I'll make some announcements.